A small shtetl in Poland was hit by a terrible fire a few hundred years ago. Almost the entire shtetl burned to the ground. After the city had come over the shock and the worst grief, a meeting in the shtetl was arranged. The small town was to be rebuilt, and the Jews had to find a way to avoid a similar catastrophe in the future. It was decided that they would send a delegation to the city of Warsaw to find out how they could avoid a new major fire. Yankele, Yitzhak and Moshe traveled for 2 days to get to Warsaw. They found the fire department and asked for the boss. "Can you tell us how to handle a major fire?" He proudly told them that they had developed a system to prevent a fire from spreading to large parts of Warsaw. "Do you see that tower in the middle of the square? A bell is attached to the top of the tower. Someone must, as quickly as they can, run to the square, climb the tower and ring the bell as hard as he can. At the sound of the ringing, the fire brigade will send out a wagon with a water tank and hose to prevent the flames from spreading." The delegation from the shtetl returned to tell what they had seen. The shtetl arranged a new meeting where Yankele, Yitzhak and Moshe told the whole city about what Warsaw had done to avoid a major fire. So the shtetl decided to do the same and immediately started building the tower. The tower in the shtetl was built exactly as high as the tower they had seen in Warsaw. The tower had entrances on each side, just like the one in Warsaw. The bell in the tower was made by the same bellcaster who made the bell that hung in Warsaw. A few months after the tower was completed, a new fire broke out. Rachel, the shoemaker's daughter, ran as fast as she could up the tower and rang the bell. She called and called and called. The story, unfortunately, does not have a happy ending, but we will return to this story at the end of my drasha. I am Michael Cohn, rabbi for the Jewish communities Bern and Biel in Switzerland, and this here is my Shabbat drasha for Parashat Mishpatim. This week's parasha is called Mishpatim, which means laws, and it is filled with instructions on how to behave and organize our societies. Now, it's natural that Judaism, which is so preoccupied with laws and instructions, has a parasha in the Torah by that name. But it is important to remember that laws are tools to achieve certain goals. The rules around Purim that is coming up are good examples of this. The gifts we send to our friends on Purim, for example, called Mishloach Manot, is done for either one of two reasons. We're sending gifts to friends either because we want to increase friendship and love amongst Jews, or because we want to make sure people have good food for the Purim Seuda. The reason will affect how we fulfill the commandment and the obligation's purpose is either to ensure people have what to eat on Purim, or in order to increase the bonds between the Jewish people. Now we find two examples from Parashat Mishpatim that can show us the significance of the values that inspire our laws. In this week's parasha, in chapter 23, Pasuk 5, instructs us on what to do if we come across a donkey with too heavy a load. "Then you should help unload the donkey," Torah orders. Why are we ordered to take off the donkey's load? Well, Rashi assumes that we can derive guidelines for how we should act based on the view that animals should not suffer. The value of animals not suffering is important in Judaism. So the instruction to help the donkey is not a random rule that we should follow just because God has asked us to. It is mandatory because God is concerned about animal welfare. We're also being told this week about rules regarding thieves. A thief who sells or slaughters a stolen cow must repay 5 times the cow's value. Torah, on the other hand, demands only 4 times the money for a stolen sheep. The Talmud assumes that there must be a purpose to this law. The rabbis therefore discuss why there is a difference between a cow and a sheep. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai believed that one should not be punished as severely for stealing a sheep. He explains that the thief's dignity was violated when he stole the sheep. We can steal a cow by guiding it out, but a sheep will usually not go with a thief on its own, so a thief must carry the sheep over his shoulder to get it with him. It's considered humiliating for us humans to carry around the sheep where it's not appropriate, and one of the purposes of the Torah law is to protect the dignity of human beings, including the dignity of someone who has done something wrong. And this is the basis for Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of the law, which states that a thief is punished less for stealing a sheep. The story that we heard in the beginning, the story about the shtetl, unfortunately has a sad ending. The shtetl focused on how to build the tower so that it would be identical to the tower they had seen in Warsaw. The inhabitants of the shtetl had focused one-sidedly on the tower. They thought that the tower itself was central, its size, location, and the sound of the clock. The tower was just a means of alerting the fire department. But the shtetl did not care about the fire brigade's wagon with water tank, which the tower was designed to warn. What they had not understood was the effect of the ringing of the bell. It was the effect of the ringing that was the whole reason for why Warsaw had built the tower in the first place. The laws of Judaism are like the tower. The importance lies in the effect. We're sometimes too preoccupied with the many details of Jewish law. And Mishloach Manot and the rules around it, and this week's parasha, is a reminder to be careful not to miss the many profound values that our laws seek to convey to the world. Shabbat Shalom.